All right, my dears, welcome to your mastermind call for September 28th. And we are going to dive into a few things tonight, but Karen and I were just chatting here and I want to respond to one of her questions. We're going to also, I want to connect with you a little bit more about Navratri and about the goddess Durga. And I want to do Durga, and I want to do a process around that letting go. And yeah, we're just going to jump right in. Of course, if you have questions, I'm going to attend to those things. And so Karen and I were just talking about, you know, when you get knocked off course, and she said something that's so important, which is, you know, I'm not going to focus on, you know, getting knocked off. I'm going to focus on, you know, just getting back on course. And so that's such a great attitude to have, because you know, we get knocked off center so many times. You know, we get knocked off center all the time. And it doesn't really matter how many times we get knocked off center if we have a well-worn path. And actually, it's best to have many well-worn paths back home again. So it's always great to put more emphasis on how do I get back to center than, oh my God, I was off. And of course, if there's something you need to clear or whatever, but I just thought that was, you know, a brilliant attitude to have. And it is true. It's like, if you could think of being aligned as short moments repeated often, that's much more realistic than being aligned all the time, because in any moment we can be, you know, we can be knocked off or we could be almost knocked off. And it's just how quick can we recover? Just how quick, that's really the skill is, because life's going to pull us in a lot of different directions. So having all of our different pathways to, you know, get back on center. And especially when you know you've been off and you know why, it's like, well, let's not dwell there. Let's not beat ourselves up. Let's just put all that energy towards getting back. So I like to think of the well-worn paths as like, when I used to live in Idaho, it was cool because we had two other neighbors. You know, we lived on several acres and so did our neighbors, but we had pathways between the houses and sometimes, you know, you'd be over, you'd have dinner and then you'd go home in the dark, but we knew the pathway. But the only way those pathways were there is because we walked them a lot of times, and we always could find our way home, even if it was dark. So sometimes when we're establishing a new routine or a new way to get back on center, you know, we've got to really focus and we've got to build the pathway. But once we do, you know, we have those ones we can lean into. So it's always good to bring to mind, especially if you've gotten knocked off center and or knocked off hard, just like what's the easiest pathway? What's the most well-worn pathway back? Whether it's moving your body, whether it's, you know, needing to talk it out with somebody, or, you know, whatever it might be for you. Super, super important to spend less time flogging ourselves and more time just getting back with the program again. So thanks for bringing that up, Karen. So welcome everybody. I want to start us off tonight with doing a little just a little prayer time here for Florida. Jennifer's right in the eye of the storm, and you know there's many other people getting hit there, so I think it'd be really great for us to send some energy there. I want to go into some things around Navratri and the goddesses we're embodying. If you haven't watched the video, it's on the member side as well as in the Facebook group. Then I encourage you to do that. It's only about 15 minutes long, but it talks about this powerful 9 days that we're in, and we're in the third day of those 9 days. So I'm going to take you through a process around that really honors the energy of Durga. And we may even do a little bit of chanting, around just a very simple chant for Durga. All the goddesses have different mantras and chants. And one of the beautiful things about mantra is Sanskrit is it's a vibrational language, and it's another form of meditation, really. And all the different deities, as I had said in that short training, and there's so many gods and goddesses within the Indian cosmology and mythology, because they sort of single out different aspects of ourself and make them different personalities. And that way, you know, we can develop these different relationships with different aspects of self and add some story and add some mythology to it, which is super useful in just getting to know oneself or getting to know others, just another way to, in another culture. And this is like using the archetypes same way, you know? So I do also want to attend to your questions tonight. So what I like to do is, let's just take a few minutes here, and I'll just kind of lead us through a little process of just holding a short prayer circle here for Florida and everybody involved. Then we'll do whatever questions we have, and then we'll jump into the other things that I would like to bring to you this evening. Okay. So whenever there's lots of different ways to pray. My favorite way to pray is in the tradition of, actually it's in the Native American traditions, probably in all the traditions to tell you the truth. And it comes from, it's very close to what conscious creation is. And I suppose that's why it resonates so much. And it comes from the ancient culture of the Essenes. And it's getting into that state where it's already done, you know, where we see it, where we feel it, where it's already done. A lot of times people think of prayer as I'm in need and I don't have, and please help me, please give me. There is nothing wrong with that whatsoever. It is more powerful though to, maybe that's why you're going into prayer for someone else or for yourself or for the planet or whatever. And you step into the energy more so of knowing that the intention you have and the result that you want, seeing it, feeling it, it's more in the energy of thy will be done. And collectively, when we hold that, that's more powerful than when we hold that singularly by ourselves. So I will just lead us through a little process around that. Let's see if I can get that sun out of my eyes. I don't have anything right here, so I'll just live with it. And yeah, so it'd be great to just close your eyes, tune in. We'll just do a, and of course, Karen's driving, so keep your eyes open, but I'm sure you can pay attention. And I'll just lead us through a little process here. Oh, and we'll also, actually, I'm going to bring, just so you know, you're not surprised, I'm going to bring Anne into that process at the end of that. She and her family are dealing with COVID right now. When she texted me this morning, she's was still, you know, very tired and still has a fever. So anyway, if we want to support her along as well. All right. So let's close our eyes. And first we'll just put our attention on our breath, get centered up. And just take like three really long, deep, slow breaths. You can make noise and everything. Just take a few long, deep, slow breaths. Let go of your own shoulders. Let your belly relax with your breath. And really let your weight drop down into what you're sitting on. Feel that support. That support you don't usually question when you sit down. And that is the support we have from the divine, from the universe, and the support we are going to evoke today in our prayer circle. Bring your attention to your heart. Feel free to put your hand on your heart. It's a quick way to bring your attention there. Relax your jaw, relax your throat, just letting go of your day. And just inviting your attention down into your heart, your center of creation, your connection with the divine and with your soul. This just beautiful place of merging. And because anything we put our attention on come together, more than one, and put our attention on is exponential. So together we're better, together we're more powerful. So we're in a virtual room together, and as if we were standing or sitting in a circle together, just take a moment to, we just want to link up our hearts. We're already doing that, but we'll do it a little more intentionally by the other people here, Jamie, April, Kiki, myself, Karen. And just like we could just link all of our hearts up in a circle. Just take a moment to feel into and have that intention. I almost kind of, for me, it's almost like each one of us is a gorgeous gem. And I'm just sort of imagine it beaded on a circle, on a string, a circle that connects us all. So whatever works for you, but make that connection. And we're really evoking our belief, our understanding, our trust in a greater power than we are singularly in our bodies and in this world. And really connecting in with that pulse of the divine that breathes your breath, that beats your heart, that even thinks your thoughts. I'm going to direct our attention towards the state of Florida right now and any of the surrounding areas and the people, the, you know, the healing of the planet and the people, and as it's in this storm, it's a storm right now, and where there's flooding and high winds. And whatever your, my personal intention is to help amplify safety for those that are involved. Allow your vision to be whatever it is, and the energy, and I will just mention some things that I'm holding for us as a group to hold for them. And anything else that you want to just bring in as well. But safety, let the winds calm down quickly, and just really feeling that energy of the winds calming down. The water that's flooded onto the land subsiding. And feeling just the feeling of safety within yourself and projecting that for all who's involved, that they're safe, that they get the help that they need. And I'm really seeing and sensing and wanting to push the storm through quickly, just have it just move as fast as it can so recovery can happen as quickly as it can. So just like on those simulated, if you watch how they're tracking the storm, like then they show you how it moves. I'm my vision just happens to be like I'm seeing that because it's such a familiar reference for me, and I'm just putting it in hyperspeed, just watching it just move really quickly, move on. Once again, tapping into that energy of safety and holding it as if our circle was sort of hovering over that area. Just sending blessings. The key here is that it's already done. The feeling of it's moved through. And people are in quick recovery or whatever's resonant for you. And the land is in quick recovery. And let's move our attention, or let's bring the energy of Anne and her healing into our circle. And as we're talking about quick recovery, let's see her in her, just in her most vibrant health. Her, just her best vitality, where she's just radiant in her energy. And we'll send that to her whole family, that the recovery process is done. And they're moving on with their life. Healed and whole. Now, while we have this circle and this energy in place here, I'm just going to be silent for a moment. And if there's anyone else, including yourself, or anything else that you want to put into the prayer circle now, just go ahead and do that intentionally. Just bring your attention in that same way that the end result is already done. And if you didn't put yourself or anything about yourself into the prayer circle, let's take a moment to do that now, since we're here, we've got the energy flowing really beautifully. So anything that you want to offer up for healing about yourself, whether it's your mind, your body, your spirit, again, going to the end result, feeling, seeing that, holding the vision of that. And we'll take another deep, full breath and a deep, deep feeling of gratitude, and so much in the power of coming together, and so much in the power of the divine. I'm grateful for all we already have and are, and grateful for what we've brought into the prayer circle today. That it's done, and so it is. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and bring your attention back to the present. Feel free to turn your camera on. I just want to open it up for a moment. Anybody have any reflections about any of that, anything they want to share about, about the power of prayer, about that experience, whether it's a celebration or a doubt or anywhere in between? Keep in mind, it's energy first and then matter. So, prayer is, and in my opinion, in that kind of a way, is incredibly powerful. I've always believed in and have practiced prayer in a kind of an alternative way. And there's nothing wrong with any way you do prayer. But I read a book one time. I think it was a Carolyn Mace book. and it was a bunch of different stories. Oh yeah. It was a bunch of different stories. And I can't remember exactly how she got people. People wrote her all these letters and all these experiences and all these stories. And a lot of it had to do with prayer. And just it like really clicked something over in me. All these witnesses and all these people have saying and all these stories about, that they were in a car wreck and they could feel the prayer of the person driving by, and like just endless stories like that. And it just really hit home at a, at a different level of people who had felt the, receiving of prayer. So anyway, powerful stuff. Okay. I would like to open it up for any questions, any celebrations, any topics you want to bring up next before I dive into the rest of the content for the evening. So does anybody have anything you want to bring to the table? Anything you want to share? Anything you want to ask? Anything you want?
I guess I don't know if I have anything more to ask, but I found it interesting to see the picture, the image of Durga. I think that's how you pronounce it. Is that right?
Yeah, Durga. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Durga.
Had like 10 arms or eight yep. arms or lots of arms, like from, and then I read more about it. I guess it said that it was because it's from protection or from all animals. I don't know if you can hear me.
You broke up just a little bit. Yes. So, yeah. So what's amazing about the goddess Durga is, unless you really know about her, look into her a little bit deeper, and the first impression someone might get is just, well, that's a badass bitch, but she is in a way, but she is, she's the wife of Shiva in the Indian cosmology, and Shiva is consciousness. Consciousness is the masculine energy. As I said, in that little training I created for you guys, it's like the energy behind things. Form is feminine. Form, the weather is, our bodies are, that nature is. Form is feminine. So without the feminine, that consciousness, that energy doesn't come into form. And Durga, she has a fierceness to her. And the fierceness is about being, and all those different weapons she has in her hands, and she rides this tiger, is about slaying, helping us to slay any of the perceptions and the ego stuff that keeps us from knowing our divinity. And she also has her hand in a mudra, which is about compassion. So at the same time, and you can think of her as the divine mother in the form of, sometimes as a mother, you've got to stand in, and those of you who aren't necessarily mothers, you have a mother, and you've experienced mothers. Sometimes you have to stand in really strongly for a child. If they're grabbing something from under the sink, some cleaner or bleach or something, or drinking it, we're not going to say, oh, now you're going to rip it out of their hand, and that's just a really blatant example of, like, Durga, or Kali is another form, but it comes from love. I want you to live. I want you to be fine. And I'm going to slice through that and take care of that right here and right now. So she is there to, that aspect of the divine feminine is there to be fierce about cutting away anything that really keeps us from our hearts, and keeps us from surrendering and being able to, because the next phase in the next 3 days, as we go into Lakshmi, which a lot of people associate with wealth, which Lakshmi is about wealth, and it's also representative of the planet of Venus, but Lakshmi is really about love. But we can't get to love until we've surrendered what's in our way. And so, and that's why I really like using the analogy of Durga comes in and helps us to, Like it's a weedy garden, and we want to plant something new and we want to reap the harvest. But if we just plant in the weeds, you know, it's not going to do very well. So we got to go in and clear the weeds and clear the rocks first. And that's what Durga's here to help us to do. And she does it with love, but with the strength to help us to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes really good sense.
And
you as a gardener know a lot about clearing and all the stuff you got to do before the more fun stuff, so to speak.
And it takes time to do that part, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although you could have a power tools like a tiller, like my dad does the tiller. I don't know if you have a tiller, but
you can have a power tool, and our power tools are clearing processes. And we do have power tools, and thank you for bringing that up. We absolutely do have power tools, and you guys are pretty adept at using your power tools. So there are different ways, you know, we can go at it with a pickaxe, or we can go at it with a, you know, with a really fine drill, you know? So we've got power tools, that's for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Great point. Does anybody else have anything they want to contribute, want to ask, want to anything?
Just that it's feeling like it's been a really funky time.
It's, again, how all this energy hits everybody is different, but, it's a Mercury retrograde, and it's not a terrible one, but it is a Mercury retrograde, and which is going to go direct on the third, which will be really, or the second third, which will be really nice, because a lot of clarity will come in at that point. And also for you Martians, Mars is starting to slow down quite a bit because it's going to go retrograde in October. And so that's another thing, you know, and sometimes the funkiness that we can feel, and it can hit everybody very differently, but sometimes that funkiness also can be because other people that we're involved with are kind of off, you know, and then that reflects back to us. So do you have a particular kind of funkiness you've been experiencing?
Yeah.
What's your brand of funkiness?
I'm suddenly like, well, I don't know if it's suddenly, but it feels more poignant. I'm just like disappointed, or I'm feeling disappointed and disillusioned with where I am, and much I'm making, you know, and just like my fulfillment and my security and everything. I'm just feeling like it's just not where I want to be, and it feels sad, actually. It's not even frustrating. It's sadness.
So that's what I want you to offer up in this process, you know, and you Martians tend to reflect each other, you know, and the, in a way I would say that it's actually good that it's not good. How do I say this? The fact that you're feeling sad about it, as opposed to frustrated with it or mad about it, actually means that to me that you're, it's hitting you in the right way. And the thing that I want to encourage is time to surrender that and not linger there, because as I was, I don't know if you were on the very beginning of the call, I started this recording because Karen and I were just there and we were talking. And then I started it when I was kind of commenting on something she and I were talking about, that, you know, we noticing where we are, or our perception of where we are, which doesn't even mean where we really are, right? It's our perception of where we are, especially if we're comparing it to other things, then we don't want to linger there too long. We want to find the pathway, as I was talking about, pathway back to, or to the new pathway. And it usually is that it's not anywhere back to feeling a certain way, or back to, it's like, oh, it's time for a new pathway. you know, you took a bump up in a way, and then circumstances have caused you to look outside of yourself, weigh things against that, and then go, you know, something's not fulfilling. I think something's not measuring up. And so we want to surrender that and then get to the new vision and get to the new pathway. So we aren't in that sort of taking the wind out of our sails sadness, although you want to feel your feelings but moving that constructive energy to where we want to be and where we want to go, instead of falling in that gap between where we think we should be and where it seems like we are. Or am I making sense? Okay. So yes, there are some energetic components to this. And as you will know, the energy always moves and it won't last forever. So we have actually five planets retrograde. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, actually 6 planets retrograde. All the outer planets, which you don't talk about that much, Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto, they're all retrograde. And then we have Saturn and Jupiter, and Mercury is all retrograde. So I think when Mercury went retrograde, even though for Mercury, it's not in a bad place, it just was that thing that tipped it over the edge of all this reevaluating energy. Or the retrograde planets, they kind of have us go back over an area we've already been. They moved through already, and now they're going back over an area. So we're reassessing, and reassessing in so many areas of life can be kind of confusing. Does that make sense? So when Mercury turns direct, that is going to be very helpful, because Mercury is our intellect. You know, it represents different things for different people, but overarching, it is our ability to evaluate. And the things you are talking about here is an evaluation piece. And so it's bringing stuff up, but it's not bringing any resolve to it. There isn't the clarity piece yet. But as it turns direct, like, just trust. And trust me, I'm used to this energy. So I know what to do with it. It's like, I just like, oh, there's that. I just put that on the bulletin board and there's that. Okay. Yeah. But the pieces, the puzzle will come together. It always does. So when it goes direct, and especially actually when it's turning direct, that's why I always say, don't make choices. It's like, after it turns direct, it's like the fog clears and those pieces that have come to the surface start to make sense. There's clarity and there's power in clarity. Then we see the way forward. We see the choices we need to make, or thing we need to let go, or whatever it might be. And actually shortly after that, I just realized it's the 28th and I need to do the October update. But right after in October, we also have Saturn moving into direct too, which is also really great, because Saturn's a big heavyweight. And Saturn has been traversing in Capricorn over the same area one way or the other for quite a while. So that's an energy we've all been feeling. So hang in there with that. I would say whatever's feeling, heavy to you or confused or whatever, in our process today, surrender that up to Durga. And what I want to say about Durga is that, again, this is one face of the divine feminine. And in focusing on three of the different goddesses that capture kind of these three big energies, there's many goddesses. And sometimes for Navratri, there's 9 faces of Durga. And some people do it that way. I like to use Durga, Lakshmi, and Saraswati, because it's kind of more holistic. These are aspects that are within us, you know? And so what I'm going to help you to do in the process is just help you to connect to that fierce aspect that is ready to just slice illusion away, any of the illusion away, whether it's the way you're looking at something or whatever it might be, because we all have that. We all have these different parts of us within us. And this is about helping us to embody those. Some of us are better at different parts. So Kiki, you could think of, when you used to really deal with the shadow side of the queen, what did you used to call her? The good queen and the bad queen? What did you used to call the bad queen?
Evil queen, I think.
Okay. So the evil queen isn't really the Durga energy, but there's a part of it that's close to that. That evil queen was the part that was stuck in the shadow, but if she was if she was working for you on something that is true and real instead of, you know, a past perception or something, and showing up evil, the queen had that kind of fierceness who wanted to protect you, because that's what the old ego part does, right? So maybe it's going to act in some different ways. And the only reason I bring that up for you, because I just remember, you know, you working on this for a while and you had identified it so well. So the fierceness, even though it was directed in the wrong direction of the evil side of the queen, that's the kind of energy that can be directed towards what's in the way to slice through it. Am I making any sense to you? I'm just trying to connect a dot for you around the energy.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I think, you know, it's interesting because you know, you asked what my, you know, my flavor of funky was. You know, I feel like I don't have any of that.
That's why energy. That's why I mentioned that. Yeah.
No, and it's just like this resignation, which feels very sad.
That's right. That's why we're gonna evoke Durga, because you guys all have the badass bitch within you. Okay, so. That, or let's say the kick-ass. She's a kick-ass woman. We'll call her that. Okay. Jamie, do you want to say anything?
I promise I know how to unmute. So I guess to find the synchronicity in past life, whenever we were making our altos, Durga was one of the ones, one of the figurines that I bought. And I was kind of mocked for picking Durga. And I was like, no, she really calls to me. So that's the synchronicity of this. Okay, but cool. I will have to see what Kiki said is that sadness. Like I almost considered, because I was in a meeting up until like 8:09 before I could sign on. Like, I almost felt like to just go to bed and cry. And I didn't know why, because I was like, I just feel like I need a release of something. Because it in, you know, I feel like there's some parts of my life that feel like very good, and that it's good. Like, you know, me and my kid and talking about like, you know, what we did, and you know, we're having like long conversations and stuff. That feels amazing. But like everything else just feels so like Kiki said, that resignation. Like, I feel like I'm just like, blah. And I don't know, you know, if I cry, if I, you know, I don't know what it's going to get me. It feels like a funk, but it doesn't, but I don't understand it. So I think this is a good process. But whenever she said the sadness like that, I was like, well, that's exactly what I felt. And, you know, it was starting to kick in last week when I messaged you with just things. Where, you know, the things that are that I have to deal with that are other people based feel very heavy. And so, as you know, as much as the bubble space and stuff that I do, it feels like, you know, what would be like a good example? It would be like the princess and the pea. So like, no matter how many mattresses I put on everybody and, you know, to try to separate me from them, I'm that princess. And that pee is really bothering me, and I'm trying like to put things between me and them so that I'm not affected by it, and I'm not sad, and I'm not bothered, but I'm just so sensitive that it still is like causing my back to hurt, which I had to go to the chiropractor yesterday. So that's the way I see this, and yeah. So
The other energetic aspect that's going on is and also, you know, you've got a ton of planets up there in where Mars is up in Taurus, and then Kiki, you have your moon there. You both have your moons there in Taurus. The other thing that's going on is Venus is in Virgo, where Mercury is retrograde, and Venus is debilitated there. So that's our connector. That's our emotions. And so Venus being debilitated there is, it's like life isn't as warm and fuzzy as we want it to be when Venus is like that. And the reason why, even though Mercury is a good friend to Venus, But Virgo is all about the practicality and the details, and Venus is all touchy-feely. The connector is, the artist is, the muse is, wants the pleasure out of life, and things feel just a little too dry. So that certainly can make one also feel like they're not getting the connection that they need. That absolutely is playing into things. So what I loved about knowing what the energy is, then for me, it helps me take it less personally. And that's why I share it with you all too. It's like, okay, I'm not going to be like this forever. I'm feeling, you know, I'm feeling the feels now, but I'm not necessarily going to, you know, it's not going to be like this forever. So, and even though Mars is slowing down, going retrograde, you are, I mean, it's also not going to be like horrible that whole time. It's going to be retrograde for a long time. It's not going to be that. There's a lot of dynamic and a lot of retrograde going on. But the good news is it's turning over, and then we'll have eclipses at the end of October, and then that'll rock and roll the world there. So it's always something, right? Yeah, but sometimes that's, you know, when the eclipses come, sometimes things need to be punched through, you know, and, you know, the eclipses, you know, they shake the shit up, you know, but for, that's transits. Hang on a second. We've got charts in front of me. You know, Jim, you're just dealing with your Jupiter there, and, but you're in your Jupiter cycle, and, Kiki, you are, what do you have there? Jamie, sorry. Oh, your Mars is there. Right. Yeah, so then you know, the eclipses will come and they're going to rock and roll and create some shifts there, but that's always, it's always like they, you know, they churn things up so that things can go in a different direction. So, yeah, so we'll do this process and see what we can have come through the other side. Okay. And I will say, I don't know if we'll have time, and we have such a small group. I was going to maybe chant with you guys, but, it's really great. And I should have put a couple of links to chants in the group. And I will, I'll put, a link to, Durga chant, and I'll put, I like Krishna Das's version. My teacher does a good version too. And that, and then for the other goddesses, just letting those mantras, those chants, you know, if they're on YouTube, they're free, you know, or on Spotify, run in the background. It has a way of, or it's Sanskrit, has a way of working on the mind. And chanting is a very feminine form of meditation, because it's form, it's sounds, it's words, it's repetitive. But what it does is it replaces the ticker tape of negative thoughts, you know? And as my kids used to say to me, Mom, you know, you're just saying the same thing over and over again. I'm like, I know, honey. But there's a value in that, because the thinking mind just goes, oh, nothing to think about anymore. You know, we're just going to be doing this now. So if you haven't used mantra, it's super powerful. I know Julie does use it quite a bit. All right. So anything else I want to share with you about this before we dive into this quick little process here? I already talked a little bit more about the energy of Durga, and once again, it's the clearing of the garden. It's the clearing of the deck. So right now, in order to plant something new and have your intention, or even know what your intention is next, which we are going to tune into more with the Lakshmi energy. And then finally, it's Saraswati, who's all about wisdom. But we can't get to that wisdom. We can't get to that inner wisdom until we've cleared. We do this all the time. This is very reflective of our own process that we work with in our work. We clear. Then we can finally surrender. Then we can plant and intend, and then we can move on to receiving. And that's that inner wisdom, and then also receiving just being in receptive mode. Alrighty, so I will put another post tomorrow. So check the group, because I'll put a post around Saraswati. I will talk about her just a tiny bit more, even though I'll do a post, but I'm sorry, about Lakshmi. Lakshmi, we can't get to Lakshmi, which is very much, it is pleasure and wealth, but it's love. It's the energy of the heart. It's connected to the planet Venus. Durga's connected to Rahu, the magician. We can't get to that when there's a whole bunch of shit in the way. Like right now, the both of you are not feeling very connected, right? You're not feeling like I'm not ready to plant my garden. I just feel like I'm rolling around in the weeds over here. Okay. So it's a process we have to do first. So we'll just dump into the in the process. I just want to check my notes here for just a moment, make sure I'm not leaving out anything I found. Really wanted to share with you. I just need to say this to you too, because I'm being told to, even though I'll put it in the post that I'll do. But Lakshmi is really it's the loving quality, as I said. It is the divine power that transforms our dreams into reality. It's the perfect creation. It's self-sustaining, self-containing. It's nature itself. And it's like the dreamlike expression of divinity that makes life comprehensible and worth living. And the reason why I'm sharing that with you is that's kind of where you, the two of you, you know, are feeling at that. So, you know, she really is the Shakti energy. And so Shakti being the life form itself. Okay, Shiva again is the consciousness. Durga is that fierce aspect that's going to slice things away. And Lakshmi is like, it's the nature, it's the goods, it's all the good stuff. And so we have to be able to create a dream, and she helps us do that. So part of the practice is we're evoking energy that we have a slice of, we have an aspect of, to help us along the path here. Okay, so you might want something to write with, although it's not completely necessary. Okay. And yeah, it's pretty simple what we're going to do, but we're doing it differently in the fact that we're really evoking and bringing that energy of Durga in. And I am going to, one second here. I'm going to evoke her energy a little bit more by there we go. Okay. I'm just going to read to you a little bit more about her. So she slays demons, she rides a lion or a tiger, and she has a bunch of weapons. And she's a little intimidating, but if you can't take a woman, then get out of the way. And I want you to reflect on the fact that there are times that all of you are very strong women. So I want you to tap into a time where you're like, you know, not because you're, you know, mad or in your ego or anything, but you're taking control, you're getting things done, you're in your strength and you're in your power. And some people might not even like you for that, and that's okay. She's depicted as riding the tiger or the lion because it symbolizes unlimited power. And that she possesses the unlimited power and uses it to protect virtue and to destroy ego and any evil in the way. She's the incarnated power of all beings, and again, has that power to slay away what is not true. She's the other half of Shiva, She is the feminine form of expression. She is the feminine principle of divine energy, but she assumes the power of the male gods to save the universe. So even as you well know, we have a deeply feminine side that has many different aspects. And one of those aspects, you know, has some of the power of what we would consider masculine, and she has. The weapons in her hand, such as the mace, the sword, the disc, the arrow, convey the idea that one weapon cannot destroy all different kinds of enemies. Different weapons must be used to fight enemies depending on the circumstances. For example, selfishness must be destroyed by detachment, jealousy by desirelessness, and prejudice by self-knowledge, and ego by discrimination. So one hand, she makes a mudra of peace and compassion. And once we free the ego and the false programming, then we are at peace. And that is her whole goal, is to bring us back to peace. And I think it's just important to recognize that not one weapon or one process, you know, takes care of. That's why we have a lot of different ways of dealing with things. So let's just tune in and see what comes up here. What I want to invite you to do is, now that we've just brought her energy a little bit more, and hopefully, even though in the state you might be feeling in now, that you can, actually, it's really easy for myself, which is, So in our process for working with Durga and clearing the garden tonight, what I want to invite you to do is just close your eyes. You may want to have something to write with. And I want to invite you first to tap in, as we have just been exploring Durga and her energy. And if you need to connect with it more, you can always just read the description, read the post. And I want to first invite you, as you just settle into yourself, to reflect on a time that you were really in that strong, badass woman that you can be. You might have even been criticized for that, but it didn't matter at all, because you had things to do, or you had something to attend to or to protect. And there was just nothing going to keep you from that. So I want to invite you just to bring into your awareness, you have been there. That is a part of you, no matter how you're feeling right now. I want you just to sort of run that Rolodex of your life, whether that was a time when you were a teenager or whether it was yesterday, and bring to your awareness you in that really powerful place where really nothing could get in your way. And what you had decided to attend to was more important than what anybody else thought. And just merge with that vision, that memory, that part of yourself. Just really call it forward. And the way you call it forward is to by recognize it, by seeing it, by feeling it, by seeing the vision of it, by really feeling the feelings of it. So kind of playing the scene over for yourself. And if for any reason that's not easy for you, then you can also call on some kind of a archetype or an icon, whether it's one of your archetypes or whether it is, anything, Wonder Woman or some other goddess or someone you know. Just bring that energy in. You have the power to do that. That is the Durga side of you. That is that strength that sometimes looks masculine, even that power, sort of that fire in your belly. And now that we have that energy evoked, I want to invite you to tune into what it is. What are the weeds in your garden right now? What are the rocks you're tripping over? What are the weeds, whether it's one thing or whether it's many things? Sometimes it's a bunch of little weeds. Sometimes it's got a big old taproot and you've been trying to get it out and it still keeps growing back. What just currently is the weeds that are in your garden, or weed, or boulder, or pebbles? What do you want to invite that energy of Durga in to clear it away so you can get to the point of creating a new dream? And if you feel like you want to write that down, feel free to do that. Otherwise, you can just keep that in your awareness. And if it's many things, notice the common thread to it. What is that common thread? Now bringing that fierceness up once again, and we want to slice through the illusion of what that is and get, and it's like we're looking at those weeds and those rocks, and there's something keeping us from fully excavating them, fully removing them. So what's the perception behind that? What is it, you know, what is the beliefs? What is the fear? But I really just want to use the word perception. What is the story that you're telling yourself that is keeping those weeds, those rocks in your, clogging up your garden? And it could be something really simple. As I tune into it, just in this example, without giving too much detail, it's, I have to laugh a little bit because it's a belief that, like, I'm thinking there's only one way that it could happen. And so, and there's an infinite ways and I can't see the one way because I'm looking at something from the past and thinking, well, it should work that way. And actually it's not working that way for a reason, because I need to invite something new in. So I need to change my perception. And that's what I'm going to clear right here, is I'm going to change my perception that there's just one way for this particular thing to happen. And I'm going to open up to a greater perception, as I well know, because I've experienced many times that there's infinite ways and I need to not be stuck in the how about it. I need to stay in the place of the upholding the vision and connecting with the energy behind it, what I want to have happen. So now that you're in touch with whatever the perception is, the belief, the block, the story, and then I want to invite you to be aware of how that's serving you. How is that serving you? Like, it's keeping you stuck in a particular way. So notice how it's keeping you stuck. It's keeping you from, and it's become a comfortable thing, having that lack of fulfillment or whatever is coming up for you, even though it doesn't work for you. We need to know the value so that we can release that. So awareness precedes change, and you're in the very aware state right now. You're aware, and so that brings us 50% there. And we have the rest of the way to go, which is an energetic shift. So in calling on that fierceness, that energy of Durga, first step here is I want to invite you to simply now that you're very aware of what it is that you're moving out of the way and you're inviting the support and the help, I want you to surrender. I want to invite you to offer it, to surrender it. Not overthink it in any way, as if you were going to take those weeds or those rocks out of that garden and just give it over to this energy, this divine aspect, this fierce divine aspect, because she's happy to destroy it. Next step is I want to invite you to tell yourself the truth. What's really true about this? Not from the place of the perception you've had that isn't working for you, but if you come to the level of truth, what is really true about this? For me, it's true that there's many different ways for what's in my awareness to happen. It's not just one way. It is true that if I look back at everything that I've created, it usually doesn't happen in the way I think it's going to happen. So it's absolutely true. There's many possibilities. So that's just my example of mine. What's true? Even if it's, what's a universal truth? All right, take a deep breath. And we're just going to do this energetically. And it's going to show up completely organically for you. So however it does, just let it happen. Okay. So as you're tuning in, I want to invite you to bring that feminine force of Durga, whether it looks like her or whether it's just a feeling or it's you in that strength that you connected into. And however this is, if you're super visual, it's going to come up visually. If you are more of a feeler sensor, then that's fine too. But I literally want to invite you to bring that energy into your awareness, whether it is the goddess Durga herself or that fierce aspect of you connected with, and literally hand this over to her. And it also could play out that you just bring her in and something happens. She destroys it in some way. So just let that organically happen for you in your own inner reference system. I'm just holding the energy for that. You don't have to hold this any longer. It's not yours to hold. It's a false perception. Now take a deep breath. Let your shoulders go. Is the time to surrender. Surrender, remember, doesn't mean giving up. It means giving yourself up to the divine. You don't even have to do all of this, moving through this block on your own. You have that support. What's not true gets crushed to dust when it's put under the pressure of truth. Now, I want to invite you to replace what was you weeded out of your consciousness, your weeded out of your mind, excuse me, and your garden. There's space now. There's space. Next step will be inviting the energy of Lakshmi in. And as a prelude to that, and there'll be a process for that. As a prelude to that, I want to invite you just to notice how nice it is to have some space and just allow to come into your awareness what it is that you want to plant the seeds of in that space. And that may be something in particular. It may be a new perception for yourself. But we want to fill that space with something that really does serve us, whether it's a new way, a new thought, a new way of being. It's what will really serve you. It could be simple as knowing there's another way, or it could be something very tangible that you want to put in that space. That's calling forward that energy of Lakshmi, which we will dive into more in the coming days. So take another deep full breath. And you can bring your attention back present. You can feel free to share as you're watching this, whether it's a post or wherever it is that you're tuning into this, what's come up for you or any questions that you have. And those of you that are here with me, I'd love to hear what's come up for you.
I would just say that I get stuck on the, like, why it's serving me.
Mm.
I mean, I always do. I struggle with that question.
So what came up for you, and it's how it's serving you, what the value that it has for you. So what came up for you?
Jealousy.
So then the next question is, what's the value of jealousy for you?
Right. That's the part that I always get stuck on. I don't know.
Okay. You know. So you don't know what
the value is. Except that I just want to be mad and resentful.
Yeah, it is. It is that you have that side, you know, that you want to be mad and resentful and you want to be, you know, and that you get to, yeah, there's something in that on your shadow side that's kind of your default. Then you can feel justified, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. And what's the value of that? Isn't it sort of that you kind of get to feel alone and isolated?
Yeah, I guess so. But then you could keep going and say, well, what's the value of that? And, you know, like, I don't know.
That's kind of
like, it all points back to the same thing. You know, like, I get to be mad and resentful and, like, feel like, you know, somebody owes me something.
Right. But really the core of that for you is then you get to be alone. You get to feel alone, and, you know, they don't do things for you. And, you know, and in the end, you're mm-hmm. just better off alone. So then that keeps you out of connection, and you really do want to be in connection because the whatever it is that you've been surrendering is the, you know, is that perception, well, it's safer to be, you know, righteous or whatever about it than it is to be in connection. Which hurts. And those ego parts do hurt.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's tough because, like, I must be so blocked from it that, like, I really don't feel like I want to be in connection. So it's, like, hard for, you know, to sell me on giving up the ego part, when like I can't really feel or even believe, you know, like that what I want is to be in connection, because like my ego part's like, no, I don't need that.
So you didn't then get to the truth behind it then, did you, from that part? What was the truth behind whatever you were surrendering?
It seems unrelated. It was something like, you know, God grants me opportunities when I'm in flow.
Okay. That's true. So how is that? And what exactly were you surrendering?
I don't know. I think I was like, you know, I was like zoning in and out, and like I just heard the part of like what's true. Fine. I wasn't really connecting it to anything.
So, but what I'm hearing from you is whatever the weeds and the rocks and the way you feel and unfulfilled and all the annoying bullshit. The truth is that, you know, what you just said about God grants you, what did you say?
Opportunities
when you flow. And so that is what you want more of, correct?
Yeah.
And you've had plenty. That's another form of connection. So, you know, those are your words and those are more appropriate, you know, for exactly what you were, you're working with.
Yeah. I guess it's about being in flow, maybe being in flow. And I remember you saying like one of the, you know, Durga's weapons against jealousy was, why'd the word just escape me?
I got it written down. Desirelessness.
Yeah. So, you know, there is something about being in like true divine flow, you know, that's also, you know, has some detachment. You know, maybe it's like, you know, my strong connection with the mystic too, you know, that's like, you said is the lover of leaving, you know, that, you know, is also like, you know, very invested in it, just not being attached to anything, anyone.
That's the, on the really extreme side of the mystic wants to be attached, connected to the divine. And on the more on the shadow side, it's like, I don't need it. Yeah. I don't need anything. And I don't want to get close because I don't want to have to detach. I'd rather just stay detached. So that's more of the shadow side. So yes. So you can see that reflection there. But being absolutely connected with the divine and surrendering to the flow, that's very much the mystic. You'll take me wherever. I don't even need food. I know I'll be provided for, you know, it's that energy.
Yeah. And that kind of connection, like I can, you know, like I can feel that at least somewhat, like I do really love the idea of divine. You know, I don't necessarily always think about it as divine connection, but I think that's what it is.
That's what it is. Might as well. Yeah,
connection to life.
So that's what you want to plant more of. And this is, you know, sometimes we need to get all down to the nitty gritty. And, you know, we, with both of you, have private sessions and we shift all kinds of things. But there's times when we are just being aware of the perception, because you're skilled enough to just, it's okay. I see the truth behind this and I'm willing to surrender this. And there's a part of me that can handle this. And the next step is, okay, I want to focus on planting the seeds of divine flow for you. That's where you're going next.
Okay.
I want you all to have the experience of, you know, sometimes we've got to, you know, there's lots of different ways to let go, to clear or whatever, but it is possible to hand over, to, once you understand what's going on, you've got the awareness to hand it over to a part of yourself that can handle it, because there is that part, you know, we just need to be able to access that part. So there's a greater power, and especially like just right now with as many people in the world who are evoking this energy right now with Navratri, it's a, you guys have to trust. Let's just do that right now. So Jamie, how about you?
Well, what I found interesting is that when you said weeds, there was a lot of things that came to my mind. But whenever you said bringing in Durga, like I got really hot, like really, but it came from like behind, and I got really hot, like I was sweaty, and I was like, okay, I need to, go away from here. And then whenever we brought in Lakshmi from the right side, I felt like cool, like I felt like it was, and it was a weird cool because it came in kind of to the side and it to the front. And then like everything. So I'm just gonna focus on those. Is that it felt like there was something shifting. I felt like there was attention to that. And that it like when you said weeds, it was just like so many things that were popping up. And so I've kind of felt like, instead of like picking the weeds out and making a deliberate gardening thing, it was more of like a flamethrower just
I know, I
burning
could
all of
feel
them at
that.
the
Some of
same
you,
time.
yeah, there was like a lot of, yeah, just.
So that it just cleared it so that I didn't have to like, go and deliberately say, oh, I'm going to do this to address this, and I'm going to do this to address this. It just felt like it needed to be this away. So that was good. I think I'm going to have to like go to bed and kind of like, see what, happens, because I think that there's going to be like a step back, aha moment from it all.
Okay, I'm tempted. Hang on a second, let me just check in. I know we're like over time and all that, but yeah, do you want to take a few minutes and do the Lakshmi process since we're on the other side here, or you want me just to otherwise I'll just do it and then I'll put it in the group and you guys can watch it there.
I want to do it later because I think I need
Okay, great.
a integration period with this
Yeah,
first before I
totally
can go
understand.
do that.
Totally
But
understand. Yeah, maybe I'll do it live. I'll have to think about if I'm going to do a recording of it or do it live with you guys. Okay. So check the group tomorrow, though, because there will be a post for Lakshmi in there and start calling in that energy. And then also, please feel free to share anything that about just because it'll help other people along, but anything that's come up for you. Okay. Okay. Drink some water, get some sleep. Okay. Just chill out. It's all good. Jamie, I'll see you tomorrow. Kiki, I'll see you next week, actually. Okay. I'll Voxer with you, make sure we're on timing wise. Okay. Okay. All right. Good night, darlings. Bye.
thank you so much.
Bye bye.
Bye-bye.